One good measurement for where we're at is if you look on the missal on the altar, we are turned to the very beginning of the book. Advent begins a new ecclesiastical year. And that is because this time, this season, we are preparing for the birth of Christ. So Advent represents that time in the history of mankind before the coming of Jesus. When we think of our Lord's birth, Christmas, we are reminded that this is the center of all history. This year, 2025, represents 2,025 years since the birth of Christ. I think it's very, very interesting and also sad that there is a concerted effort to try to secularize, de-Christianize things that are celebrated throughout the world. And Christmas is right on the top. Christmas is the birth of Christ, this unique and singular event in the history of mankind. And the world would like nothing more than to try to erase that. Forget about it. Season's greetings. Happy holidays. But not Merry Christmas. And don't you dare say that word Christmas. But that is just a little part of it. We know that this is 2025, the year 2025 A.D., A.D. are the abbreviated words for in the year of the Lord. 2025 years since the birth of Christ. So what does the world try to do? They try to redo it. This is 2025 C.E. What's this C.E.? Common era. What's this common era? They can't even tell you. It's their weak, lame, feeble attempt to try to erase Christ. B.C., before Christ, oh, they could just add a letter to that. B.C.E., before Common Era. What's Common Era? They can't tell you. Very, very sad. This time of Advent is a time for us to truly prepare our hearts and souls for the birth of Christ. And how important it is as we prepare for this singular celebration, how important it is that we remind ourselves how God prepared the world for this wonderful event. Throughout those years before the coming of Christ, God inspired holy men, prophets, to make predictions, to make prophecies about the Messiah, the coming Redeemer, the expectation of the nations. Of all those prophets, Isaiah stands out uniquely. If you go home today, look in your Bibles, and you look up Isaiah, right off the bat, very first verses of Isaiah. He's lamenting that the Israelites, they don't know God. They don't know God. They're not acting as God wants them to act. But he has this statement. The ox knows his owner, and the donkey knows his master's crib. Crib, owners, ox, donkey. For the Jews reading this long before the coming of Christ, they said, well, that's strange. But little did they know that Christ would be born, the Messiah would be born in humility and poverty in a stable, in the midst of an ox and a donkey. Isaiah also says something very, very special, very unique is going to happen. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Later on, Isaiah says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And what is this child? What is this son's name? Wonderful Counselor, God the Mighty, the Father of the world to come, the Prince of Peace. God the Mighty, a child. The prophet Malachias, he spoke about the coming of the Messiah. He will be born in Bethlehem. These are very, very unique and very specific prophecies that Christ fulfilled perfectly. And one of my favorites amongst Isaiah is Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah is consoling the Israelites. God himself will come and save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the tongue of those who cannot speak, the mute, will be loosened, and the crippled, the lame, shall run like a deer. These are the very miracles that Christ worked. And the whole is full of these prophecies. They just jump right out at you, like, wow, that is amazing. Absolutely, positively amazing. But this shows how God, he wanted to prepare the world for this wonderful singular event. That he would send his own son into the world to be our Redeemer and to save us from our sins. This is what Christmas is all about. This is why we celebrate the birth of Christ. This is not just some nice story in a book. It's a reality. You know, it's interesting. There are people who try to say that this is not 2025, 2025 years since the birth of Christ. It's really 2031. That the calculation's off. Christ was born 2,031 years ago. I'll explain that just very briefly. If you ever hear that or read that, no, it's not true. Who came up with B.C. before Christ and A.D. in the year of our Lord and put our Lord's birth as the center of history? There's this very humble Christian man, scholar, named Dionysius the Little. Not because he was a midget, not because he was small, but he was humble. And he took the calculations of how the Romans calculated from the founding of the city of Rome and the Greeks from the Olympiads. He took their calculations, plus he had at his disposal their early Christian writers who came right after Christ. And they're all unanimous on the date. He was able to get that date exactly. So where did this all of a sudden become like, oh, it's not really 2025 or whatever, it's 6 years off? Well, during the Renaissance, people started to read Josephus, this Jewish historian. And Josephus, he's accurate about events. He could tell you what happened, but when you read from one book to another, he doesn't get his numbers right. He's off between his books. He's inconsistent. I don't know if you ever heard of somebody who's pretty good at writing, but not good at numbers, not good at math. Oh, that was Josephus. As we mentioned before, Josephus even mentions about Jesus. He mentions his miracles and said that indeed he was the Messiah. Now here's a Jew, not even a Christian, recognizing Christ. But when it comes to numbers, Josephus is not very accurate. He talks about in his different books, one event, the same event in two different books, he gives different numbers. This number and another book is another number. So he wasn't very good at math. So this is truly 2,025 years since this historical event, the birth of the Son of God, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. So what is Advent all about? Advent's about preparing to celebrate Jesus' birthday. And you know, we all need to give something for our Lord. We need to get him something for his birthday, a gift for him. That's what we do at Christmas time. We give gifts to one another to show our love for one another. And as Jesus said, whatever you do to your neighbor, you've done to him. So we give gifts on Christmas because our neighbor represents Jesus. But what can we give our Lord? Our Lord, we can give him our love. That's what he wants from all of us. Jesus wants all of us to love him and to prove it. Not just to say it, to prove it. And how do we prove our love for him? By loving one another. We have 25 days before celebrating Jesus' birthday. Let's get to work. Let us practice that charity toward one another. And to have that intention, Lord, I'm doing it because he or she represents you. Whatever you do to the least of the brethren, you've done to me, our Lord said. And our Lord even goes even further than that. Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. You have a higher reward in heaven. Our Lord says that if you're nice, if you're kind, if you're charitable to those who are nice to you, what reward? Even the pagans who don't believe in God do that. But when you're charitable and kind to those that you really don't get along with, you really don't like, there's the merit. There's where it really takes effort, and God notices that. You know, we mentioned about St. Teresa, the little flower, before. St. Teresa, when she was in the convent, there was one nun who had aggravated to no end. There's people like that in all of our lives, aren't there? There's somebody out there that, boy, they really get us. So St. Teresa was in church praying, and the nun would bang her beads against the pew. Drive you crazy. That same nun, I think, was totally oblivious when she was doing, they do their wash by hand, she's splashing dirty laundry water on everybody. And St. Teresa would make it a point to kneel next to her to do her laundry and get splashed. And it's not just going at it, she's just totally oblivious to what's going on. She practiced that virtue of charity in little ways. Ways that probably no one else really noticed. But she knows that Jesus noticed that. I was thinking about this when I was in the seminary. I just joined. And I had a knee next to the seminarian. And he would talk normal, but when he prayed, he sounded like a robot. He would pray like this. It would drive me crazy. And I'm like, come on, can't you just pray normal like everybody else? No, he can't. I'm like, oh. And this is all year. And I was thinking, man, this might be the rest of my life kneeling next to him. Wow. But you know, it's like this. Charity covers a multitude of sins, we read. By this will all men know that we're disciples of Christ. This is how we show our love for Jesus. This is the gift we can offer Christ on Christmas. That we spent this Advent season really trying to go out of our way to practice the virtue of charity. Later on, during this Advent season, we're going to read how St. John the Baptist, he was the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord. Every mountain shall be level and every valley should be filled. That's what we need to do in our spiritual lives. If we've been falling into sin or faults or failings that are displeasing to Jesus, this is the gift we can offer our Lord on Christmas, that we rooted out that sin or that fault or failing. And I can't help it but how, you know, when we read the Epistle and Gospel, these epistles and gospels were picked very, very thoughtfully. This Advent season, what does St. Paul tell us? To the Romans, but to us. Brethren, understand, for now is the hour for us to rise from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we came to believe. Rise from sleep. Time to get up spiritually. If we've been sleeping spiritually, we've been remiss or relaxed or complacent or tepid, lukewarm, rise from sleep and let us truly prepare our hearts and souls for the coming of Christ. And let us remember this. Don't let the world, with all the commercial advertisements and all the secularization of Christmas, be a distraction to us. Stay focused on what this is all about. To celebrate this unique event in the history of mankind. God so loved the world to give his only begotten Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.